nazar Anna.
Is she full of disappointment?
This is Rose Grossman and Marjorie Silverman for Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2 Project, on May the 4th, 1977, interviewing Mrs. Samuel M. Levinson, or Rose Levinson as she is known to her friends. The name Levinson is synonymous with steel and is well known for its supply of fabricated steel to the construction industry of Pittsburgh, as well as other parts of the country. In addition to the industrial contribution to Pittsburgh, the Levinson family has made a notable philanthropic contribution through the Levinson Foundation. I know that this covers a span of many years, and you were there at the very beginning. Tell us about yourself, your family, and how it all began.
Incidentally, the foundation
You said something about the Levinson Foundation and that I had not used the name correctly. Do you want to correct that?
Well, the name of our foundation was named after my husband's parents, James and Rachel Levinson Foundation. My husband was the one that organized this foundation. A number of years ago, I don't remember.
Thanks so much for making the correction. Now tell us about yourself.
Well, I tell you from the start of my birth that I know I was born in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I think most of the Jewish families were down around Tunnel Street. Mm-hmm. My mother said when she came from Europe, she came to Tunnel Street. Her parents were here.
Mm-hmm. And where did they come from?
From Russia, but they were here before my parents, because my father was a rabbi and he had a study, and he was in Europe 2 years longer than my grandparents were.
Yeah.
So when they came, they went to near my grandparents, and my mother and father came with one child. I was a fifth. I don't know what year, many, many years ago.
Well, that's all right.
You need the number of years.
No, I don't need the number of years, just that you came to Pittsburgh.
Because I can think back of my sister's age.
No, you don't have to give it to us. But just tell us about your early childhood. Where did you go to school?
I went to grad school through the eighth grade. Then I went to Fifth Avenue High School. And I made it in about less than 3 years, a commercial course. You go through the whole course, and when you go through banking, you're finished.
Yeah.
And I know that I made it in less than 3 years. I got a job in March, and then I went back in June to graduate. Mm-hmm. And June was at the end of the third year. What Fifth Avenue High School.
Yeah, what kind of work did you do?
I was a secretary to two purchasing agents at the Macbeth Evans Glass Company. Now they're Corningware.
Interesting.
And after I graduated, I had to get myself another job because my mother became a widow with 8 children. And finding the one job wasn't enough for me because I was giving my mother the entire pay from the daytime. So I wanted to teach Franklin School. They taught foreigners.
Yeah.
Did you know this?
I'd heard that, yes.
Well, then I thought I needed an examination. So I went to Professor Reinerson, who was the principal of all high schools, and I asked him how I would go about getting into the Franklin Night School to teach. I asked him to need an exam. He says, you don't need an exam, you don't need anything, I'm taking you right here. So he gave me a job in the Fifth Avenue High School.
He was director of the Board of Education at that time, yes.
And head of all the high schools.
That's right, yes.
And so I had a job for 3 years at the Fifth Avenue High School in the evening until I got married. So I was able to earn for myself and earn for my mother.
Tell me, what sort of religious background did you have in your own home?
Very Orthodox.
Mm-hmm. And you say you worked there until you were married. How did you happen to meet Mr. Levinson, and how did...
My brother was a basketball player, and Sam, my husband, was on his team. And I went to see my husband play. My brother played basketball in a game on Christmas Eve. So a lot of us girls during the day went to the theater in the afternoon. We had dinner at my mother's house, and then we went to the basketball in the evening, because after the basketball game, it was a dance. And my husband was went on the team, and I never saw him before. So he saw me, and he asked me to dance with him. He took me home, and it began.
Where did the boys play basketball? Where did you go?
Oh, well, it was the old... Why? Are you in Pittsburgh? Are you along?
Born and raised.
Up on the Green Street and Wiley Street, there was a big old house, and they called that the Y.
Mm-hmm. That was the YMHA at that time.
Yeah, that was the YMHA, and that's when I was singing there. Cousin Bloom had a choir in that house, in that building, too, so I sang there, too, in his choir.
Yeah.
And that's where I met my husband, so we went together for about 3 years, and then we were married.
How long ago was that?
Oh, quite a number of years ago. I think we were married in 1913, I think.
Yes. It was a good time. What was he in at that time? What was his business? Was he in, he must have been a young man?
Very. Yeah. Of course he was older than I, but he, when I married him, he was a wholesale grocer for Heller and Perrin and Kaplan, but Heller and Perrin was the last one until his father died.
Mm-hmm.
And when his father died, he was the oldest of seven children, so he was advised by one of his their very wealthy friends. You know the ones that have the wallpaper, not glue. They used to be glue coat. Now they call it Goff Wallpaper Company. They called it glue coat. His name was glue coat, but he was very, very wealthy, and he had a meeting with my husband and myself and his mother, and they advised my husband to be the guardian of the family. And this is very interesting.
Which family? Your family?
No, the Levinson. The father just died.
His father died. Yeah.
And what he had was a junk. Is this being taped?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead. You sound great. Come on.
I didn't even know. I knew I'd be a little more careful with
my grammar. No, but you sound wonderful. No, your grammar's okay. Come on. It's so interesting. Tell us more about it. You're right. It was the beginning of your marriage when he was asked to become.
Then we had a meeting one evening after my father-in-law died, and this Mr. Goff, Glukoff is what his name was, very, very extremely wealthy, and he said to my husband, he says, "You're a very, very brilliant man, and I think you should be the guardian of this family." He said, "Of course, it's not going to pay you very much in the beginning, but I think in the end it will pay off." He said, all that this will give you in the beginning is $15 a week. He was making over $200 at the time with the groceries.
Yeah, but he wanted him to come in with the Glukoff and the...
No, just with the family. No, it had nothing to do with the Glukoff. It was just Mr. Glukoff that was advising him.
Oh, yeah.
No, he wanted to take over the junk business. My father-in-law's business was junk.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Incidentally, my father-in-law's business began 75 years ago. They're going to celebrate their 75th anniversary now.
Mm-hmm.
So... he looked at me and he said, "Mr. Goff," said, "what do you think, Rose?" And I says, "Well, I have a lot of confidence in his ability and I think he'll make it." So we were really, he was earning around $200 a week, and at that time $200 was like $1,000 now.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Well, if Sam wants it, I go right with him, and I think he ought to take it."
Mm-hmm.
So he took it. And the first thing he did when he first took it, he named it the Levinson Brothers. And it wasn't structural steel in the beginning. I don't know what it was, just a steel company. And then my husband was very, very brilliant. He didn't go to college, but he told all the engineers how to do their job. He was extremely smart. So,
Who was in the business with him? It was your father-in-law's business, and then...
The boys started going in one by one, straight from school. Out of college, they went right in.
How many brothers were there?
Yes.
There were five boys all together. One's living now, and two sisters are living.
Mm-hmm.
But he took them in right from school, one by one,
mm-hmm.
right out of school.
All the boys went into the business?
Every one of them, sure.
Mm-hmm. But he kind of headed the whole family. Was he the oldest?
Oh, yes. He was the firstborn. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, then, and that was the beginning of the...
Well, then after it was Levinson Company in the beginning. I don't know what they were doing, just steel. But a little bit later, my husband got so smart he decided to make structural steel out of it when he began to learn how to read blueprints.
Yeah.
And he made structural steel out of it. And what it is today is my husband's knowledge of structural steel.
Fabricating business. Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest in the country, I think.
Well, now they have five plants now.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved over south side, and they're keeping enlarging. But since my husband died, Aaron became board chairman. My husband's board chairman.
How long ago did Mr. Levinson die?
Last This December is 12 years, or it's probably 13 this December.
But and during this time, you probably were having your family. How large a family did you have? How many children did you have?
My children?
Yes.
Oh, my youngster was married when he died.
Well, I mean, but in the beginning, I mean, you had how many children?
Oh, three.
Three.
I have about 30 now. I do, with my married grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I have six great-grandchildren.
Isn't that wonderful? But your immediate family, your sons were...
One son and two daughters.
Yeah.
All right, can you give me their names, please?
Well, my son is Aaron P. Levinson, and he's the board chairman of Levinson Steel. Okay. And my daughter's husband's in there. He's the head of the purchasing department. His name is Louis Sigel. And June Sigel is his wife, and she's... June Sigel's my daughter.
June Levinson Sigel.
June Levinson.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell Sigel?
S-I-E-G-E-L. And he's the head of the purchasing department. He's on the board. Mm-hmm. And the third one's married to Rabbi Grohlman.
What is her first name?
Netta, N-E-T-T-A. Grohlman, there in Boston. Well, I say Belmont, doesn't matter. Belmont or Boston.
That area.
Can I go back to some of your family, your parents, and what you can remember about your grandparents? Do you remember them at all? Or anything about them?
I remember a great-grandma. My mother's mother died 7 weeks before I was born, so I was named after her. Incidentally, my grandmother, the one that died, was Rose Goldenson, and Rabbi Goldenson was her nephew. Rabbi Goldenson's father and my grandmother's were brother and sister. And my grandmother, what I'm named after, her real name was Rachel Goldenson, but I didn't like Rachel, so until I went to school, it was Rachel. When I went to school, I changed to Rose myself, but my real name is Rachel. Mm-hmm. And that was Rose Goldenson, my grandfather's picture's right over there, too. Mm-hmm. And that's my mother's father, and he was an Orthodox rabbi. You know, years ago, they called him a Rebbe. Mm-hmm.
Where was he a rabbi?
In Pittsburgh, down on Scott Street. Do you know Pittsburgh well? Scott Street is not too far from where the arena, where you go up to the arena.
Yeah, a lot of those streets have been changed.
Elm and Scott, they're all in there.
In that area, That was the upper hill at that time.
Yeah, my grandfather always was a charter member of that Washington shul that they changed now for Medish. I don't know, such an odd name. That shul, they took the two shuls, the Beis Shankov and this Washington shul, and they joined it in one. It's near the arena, near the Washington Plaza. That new little shul, you've seen it, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was a charter member of that, and my father was a rabbi at the Beis Shankov shul with Rabbi Shinsky. They were both, had the pulpit there, at that Beis Shankov shul, Beth Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Did your grandparents live in Pittsburgh?
Well, though it came from Europe. And then when my grandfather married again, I knew his second wife.
How did they happen to come to Pittsburgh? What was it that brought them to Pittsburgh, your grandparents? Did they have connections here or anything? You don't know.
I don't know. But all the Jews come to Pittsburgh. They thought it was just a good place to live, I guess. I don't know what caused them to come here. But I know that my mother came 2 years after my grandparents. And incidentally, my husband's parents were married in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Yeah, and then his grandparents and my grandparents were all buried together in that same cemetery out there at this Washington Shul Cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Where did they live in Russia? Do you know that?
What part of Russia?
My mother lived in Calvary, and that must not be very far from Vilna, because my father was from Vilna. They probably met each other. It must be very close. Mm-hmm.
They must have been young when they came here.
I guess so, I don't know. But my father-in-law was a boy. And you know what landslider is?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my in-laws, now this is a story you don't have to write. First listen, it's a funny little story.
Yeah.
My in-laws were landslide to my parents. Well, I don't know anything about their acquaintances when I was very, very young. But when my husband came to my house to take me out, my mother's next-door neighbor saw him. And when my mother first came to America, she occupied three rooms with one kitchen with a friend, with another lunch lady. That's what they did. They had each a bedroom and a kitchen. Mm-hmm. Well, when she saw this Sam Levinson come up. She got so excited because her father, his father was my mother's landslide too, and they were all landslide. She came running into my mother's house, and you know Yiddish at all?
Yeah, I recognize it.
And she was so excited. She says, "De vase where he is, who he is." I talk, well, I can't talk well either. Mm-hmm. "De vase where he, who he is." So my mom says, "She knows his Yisroel son. Yisroel was his father, and he was my mother's landslide."
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, that was after they were married. But when before they were married, before my father-in-law was married, he came to visit my parents as a boy when he was here, and he left my mother-in-law in Europe. When she was, and he brought her over here when he was 16. She was 16 and he married her. But this is something funny. He used to visit my parents all the time. And when on Purim is when they dress up.
Mm-hmm.
He took one of his boyfriends and dressed him up as a girl, and he painted his face black, and he came to visit my father. My father was so religious, he went to visit my father, and he put this color boy on his lap. And then the girl wanted a cigarette. He picked up his dress and he pulled a cigarette out of his pants pocket and he struck the match on his leg. And for a girl to smoke at that time was really something. So my parents kicked them both out of the house. And my father always told that story to me about it. I wouldn't have known anything to it. Well, this a friend that lived next door to my mother, she's the one that occupied the three rooms with my mother. She was so excited. They had us both married the first time they saw him. And his parents, well, no, his mother didn't know, but his father was so excited when he found out who I was the daughter of. They were very close.
Yeah. Well, how long was it before you were married? How long did you go together?
3 years.
3 years.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me your maiden name, your parents' name?
Yeah, Ruth Benari, UBM.
And what was your mother's name and your father's first name?
Netta.
And your father?
Isaac Joseph.
They remained in Pittsburgh from the time that they came. This was the family,
home. We were two very close families.
Yeah.
Sort of, and then we had three marriages from each side too, you know. Three Levinson married three Rubens.
You mean
oh, really?
Your husband's what? Brothers?
My husband's brother, not only. My sister married their brother, and then my brother married their sister. There was three sisters, mm-hmm. and we're three of us are widows now, though. But three marriages, three Rubens married three Levinsons.
Oh,
is that?
Hmm.
We have quite a large family now. And they're all in Pittsburgh. Well, not my offspring, they're all out of Pittsburgh. The offspring are really moving out. But the original families are all in Pittsburgh.
You say you have three children. You have two daughters and a son. And how many grandchildren do you have?
Eight and four married grandchildren and six great-grandchildren. And eight grandchildren. Mm-hmm. That's right, four of the eight are married.
Mm-hmm. How did you happen to settle here? You have part of your family right around you. How long have you been in this area?
We lived on Phillips Avenue for 18 years, and I didn't like it the whole 18 years I was there. But my husband insisted that the next move we were going to build. Mm-hmm. So we were looking for 18 years, we were moving out of there. We were looking and looking, and finally there was, Gus Sachs, for the real estate man, was very, very close with my husband. He told him about this piece of ground. There was 2 acres here. Mm-hmm. And there was bought it, and then he got cold feet. He was going to build 8 houses here, and he got cold feet. I forget his name. And he moved to Florida. I think he died since. So Mike Sachs talked my husband into buying this, and he said he'll sell it for the exact penny that he bought it, just to get rid of it. So my husband bought it. Mm-hmm. And 1 acre was, we built our house immediately on the 1 acre, the whole acre here, on my house. And then the other acre was idle, so my children wanted to build, and he decided to give them each a half acre. So my June's in the back, my Erin's in the front.
You have them right around you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and you're here alone, you live in this house alone, I understand that you are a very active lady in Pittsburgh. What are your interests now, and what are your
activities? I'm not so active. I'm a sticker, so when I get a job, I stick and stick and stick, and I don't, as far as organizations, they get my monetary support. I can't go to meetings or anything because my whole week is filled up with my work.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I go to the Home for Crippled Children. First of all, I started with With the, now let me go back further.
All right.
Start back in the very beginning. When I got married, I have a yearning for learning. I wanted to study, and I took up anything I found. So they used to have a lot of afternoon courses down there, Rosenbaum's cooking and nutrition and so many different kind of courses. Wherever I found there was a course that I was interested in, first aid, home nursing, wherever there was a course, I took. And then when my children, when the last one went to school, I decided I'm going to start with music because I loved singing. And their children's piano lessons were my piano lessons. I studied right with them. But I wanted to study for myself. So I decided to study music, singing and piano. And then I was an order, I belonged to the Order of Eastern Star. Do you, incidentally?
No, my husband is.
Squirrel Hill Chapter, no.
I never joined.
So because of my knowledge of music, they made me chairman of the choir, which I have for 24 years. And I had two other choirs. I was in two other choirs, a Y choir and the Shul choir, right along.
What synagogue did you belong to when your husband was living?
We belonged to Beth Sholem, mm-hmm. but since he died, I joined here. I joined here 25 years ago because it's across the street and it's convenient. Mm-hmm. And when he was ill, I just couldn't go up there. Mm-hmm. But I go to Beth Sholem. I mean to
Temple Sinai.
Sinai.
I saw you there. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And where was the music?
Were you in the choir at the Beth Sholem?
Oh, yes, for years. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I was in Beth Sholem Choir, and I was in a choir here for a while. They had a family choir here, but Beth Sholem, I was singing in choir since I was 16. Yeah. Beth Sholem, the Y Choir, and I just love choir
music. Did you have formal training in voice?
Yes. Well, I had a voice teacher and a piano teacher. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then my daughter became an AFI. Mm-hmm. You know what that is, don't
yeah,
you?
Yes, sorority.
And they invited all the mothers. They wanted the mothers' club. There was no mothers' club in Pittsburgh at all. Mm-hmm. So I went to the...
Was she going to the University of Pittsburgh then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She went away the first year, and then she decided to stay in Pittsburgh the second mm-hmm. year, from then on.
Where did she go the first year?
Indianapolis, in a gym school. She was a dancer. Mm-hmm. She had two dancing classes, and she was quite a dancer. And she was with Gene Kelly and a ballet teacher. I forget his second name. He wanted to put her in the Pittsburgh Ballet, but she wanted to go to college. And instead of that, if she was in Pittsburgh Ballet, she'd have to quit college. Mm-hmm. So she didn't go. I forget. Frank Ickel.
Oh,
you heard of him?
Yeah, sure.
Well, he was one of sent her to college in Indianapolis. It was an all gymnastics, scholastic school. Well, anyhow, when June came here, she was a member of the AFI, and they wanted a mother's club, so they had all the mothers come to a tea, and they spoke about a mother's club. There was none, and they thought that we should have a mother's club in Pittsburgh. So one lady, maybe you knew her, Mrs. Green, she lived in Carnegie. Did you know Mrs. Green, girl?
I know the name.
You know Martha, Martha Rosen, that owned the Rosen drugstore?
Yeah.
Well, she was a Green.
Oh,
there was three of them were AFIs, and their mother was a tea. And it's the first time I ever saw that woman, and I don't know why. She stood up and she said, I think Mrs. Levinson's going to make a very fine president of a mother's club.
They could just see it.
What can they see? So I said, well, I won't take it upon myself to be president, but you're all invited to my home on Sunday, and we'll see what we can do about it. So, of course, they made me president. So that was in 1939, and that was the first mother's club in Pittsburgh. And I had it until now. Just this last year, we gave our last money to the UJF and and Hadassah, because we had a mother's club, and all of a sudden the girls decided, oh, we did so much for that club, dishes and silver and furniture and bedding and everything.
Yeah, they had their own apartment.
Yeah, but all of a sudden the girls thought they would do better with a parent club, with a father. Well, so they pushed us out. And I was the president three times. I had every office. I was conducting with the officers. I was with them. Mm-hmm. I was with every office. It was my club, really. And they wanted a parent club, so we mothers stepped out. And just before they said that, I sent out 99 statements. Imagine. Uh-huh. I got about 50 of them paid, my yearly dues, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden we stepped out. Mm-hmm. And we even gave the girls scholarships. Every single year we gave them a scholarship.
We did a lot of work.
We did a lot of work. And then at the end of the first year, there was no club at all. There was no father's parent club, and there was no mother's club. You know, parent. They were just interested while their daughter was in school, and they dropped mm-hmm. out. They weren't interested anymore. So in the meantime, they take us away, push us out. And we were there since 39. So last week I went and had lunch, and you know Blanche Greenberger?
Sure.
Do you know her?
I know.
She had me waiting at the sirloin, and I was waiting with my daughter. She wanted to buy me a, that was my Mother's Day gift, because she's going to be out of town. So Blanche and another woman, I don't know, her friend, we, the four of us decided to sit down to eat together. And what do you think we landed on? Mother's Club, the Mother's Club. And she told me, she says, she remembers all we did. She said to me, don't you think you ought to reorganize again? I said, I'm sorry, it's too late. From 1939, we were active till now. Just now we gave our last money away. And we were put out because when we gave the girls scholarship, we the last couple of scholarships, we didn't even get a thank you note. We just got the canceled check back.
What were some of your other interests? You're such a, you were always such a busy woman. I'm sure that you had lots of interests.
Well, I studied. I like to study, and I like to sing. And then since I was taking all these courses, and I was always reading in a paper for any place that there's courses or things, and all of a sudden I read that the Red Cross, that's when I joined the Red Cross, were giving lectures on volunteer work. And that was down on Smithville Street, you know, way down
past. Yeah, I know where they are.
I think they moved out of there. They're not there anymore.
But they used to have their own building down there.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, they're not there anymore. Mm-hmm. I think they're down on Wood Street now. So I went, that was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they made, the first thing they did was make me, they knew I wanted to work, a volunteer for blood donor volunteer. A registrar, really, blood donor registrar. Mm-hmm. And they gave me booths, and I was standing at different booths, and no one could ever get away from me. I'm such a clippy, I am. You know that I'd get out of my booth if I'd want to get a donor, and they'd say no right. Of course, I knew the age limit then, I don't remember it now. And they'd say no. I'd get I'd leave my booth, I'd get them under the arm, I'd walk two and three blocks downtown till I get them to say yes. I'd tell them all kinds of stories. And I did very well.
You must have.
And then at the end of
this
the day.
This is the kind of volunteers they need.
That's the kind of worker. I can't do anything halfway. Then when I got through, at the end of the day, I'd go to the office and I'd turn in all my reports, my volunteers. And then after that, they were continuing giving lessons. And we were going through orientation, and I found that they needed volunteer workers for the different homes, the Jewish home and the veterans and the children's home and all that. But I wanted to work in the home for crippled children because I always want to give of myself where I'm needed the most. And I knew that crippled children need have a lot of needs, and I never saw them before. I never saw a real home where they're all cripples. And we had to work 150 hours before
we
got.
How did you find out about the Home for Crippled Children? How did you become aware of the need for a volunteer there?
Well, because they mentioned different places that need volunteer workers, and one Home for Crippled Children was one place, and I knew it was in Squirrel Hill. Mm-hmm. And I never saw so many cripples, and you know, the first time I went, it was hard for me.
Mm-hmm. How long ago was that? When
30 years.
About 30 years ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm in my 30th year now.
Well, no, really 1944.
It's really my 27th year because I worked 3 years in that blood bank.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But I'll get my 30-year award next March.
Is that?
Mm-hmm. So
what work did you do there at the Home for Crippled Children?
Well, I'll tell you. So the first thing, when I went there, I wanted to work in the infirmary because I never was with crippled children. I wanted to acquaint myself with crippled children. So I went to work in the infirmary, and it wasn't easy. It was very difficult for me because the first job they gave me was to dress a little girl's artificial legs that were under the bed. Mm-hmm. And she told me that my mommy got me shoes big enough so they won't pinch my toes. She was born without legs. Mm-hmm. And this is where our foundation came in handy, and I start giving them I gave them one big gift every. First I was doing it out of my own, and my husband says, you don't have to do that. About $150 every, $200 every year. He said, you just get whatever you want, and our foundation will pay for it. And I didn't even think, you know, when I want to do anything, I don't even think if I asked anybody to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So I got her legs. And I worked with children without arms, without legs, born without arms, and I would take them, I would even go on transportation, take them to the place to get artificial arms or artificial legs. And I had children there were eating, drinking their milk out of with their both feet. I worked in that department for 2 years until I sprained my back. I was working too hard. Physically, I had bathed as many as six children in a row in the morning, and they were heavy. They were hard to bathe. because, you know, I had to pick them up and put them into the tub, because the tubs were high. Then put them back on the bed and put their bandages on and their braces on, and then put them on the toilet and take them off. And big boys, I had big boys too, give them bedpans. I worked real hard for 2 years until I sprained my back. And when I sprained my back and I was in bed for about 6 weeks, I had to have a nurse. I couldn't brush my own teeth. It was so bad. So when I went back, in my report, when I filled out the application, I said that I was a former school teacher. So when I went back, I said I didn't want to go back to the infirmary. I wanted to teach school. So I went into the Lorraine Briskman's room.
Oh, yes.
And I was worked with her for 20 years.
Is that so?
She retired about 5 years ago,
yeah,
5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, she's a teacher.
Mm-hmm. What, did you teach them all?